Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. At the end of yesterday's perek, we cited Mishpitzot Zahav, who explained that the analogy of Am Yisrael to refined silver, kesef, as an oblique reference to our yearning, our kisufim, for the Beit HaMikdash. Today's perek is going to focus on the role of the Mikdash, what role it is intended to play, and what are the limitations of that role. Pasuk Aleph, Hadavar asher haya el Yirmiyahu me'et Hashem lemor. The word of Hashem came to Yirmiyahu, telling him to stand at the entrance gate to the Beit HaMikdash and relay the message of Hashem to all those who came to the temple to serve Hashem. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, Heitivu darcheichem uma'alelechem. So says Hashem, who is the God of legions, God of Israel. These are two names of Hashem that we're going to see somewhat frequently paired in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael. And Hashem Tzvakot is the God of legions, the God of hosts, indicating Hashem's broad power and authority over the entire world, together with Elokei Yisrael, his special connection to the Jewish people. And Hashem, in this capacity of both ruler of the world and Elokei Yisrael, with a special relationship to Yisrael, calls out to the people, improve your ways and your deeds, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Al tiftechu lachem al divrei hasheker, lemor, heichal Hashem, heichal Hashem, heichal Hashem, heima. Don't believe those who lie to you, the false prophets who were saying, this building is the resting place of Hashem, implying, Hashem will never destroy his own house. Ki im rather, says Yirmiyahu, ki im heitiv teitivu et archeichem ve'et ma'alalechem, im aso ta'asu mishpat bein ish uvein re'ehu, only if you improve your ways and deeds, if you act justly to one another. Ger yatom ve'almana lo ta'ashoku, v'dam naki al tishpechu ba'makom hazeh. If you desist from taking advantage of the defenseless, of the stranger, the orphan, and the widow, if you cease the spilling of innocent blood and the pursuit of foreign gods who only hurt you, then pasuk zayin v'shikanti etchem b'makom hazeh ba'aretz asher natati l'avotechem l'min olam ve'ad olam. Only then will I cause you to dwell in this land which I gave your forefathers forever. The threefold motto in Pasuk Dalet, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Hema, which is placed in the mouths of the false prophets, is one of the most frequently quoted Pesukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu. So it behooves us to try to understand it a little more deeply. Anytime something is repeated three times, the repetition is a declaration of the importance of the concept being expressed. So we'll stick with three and give three explanations of this threefold repetition. First, Rashi quotes the Aramaic translation, which exhorts the people not to believe the false prophets who assure them that after all, as long as they serve Hashem with prayer, sacrifices, and prostration three times a year in the temple on the Shalosh Regalim, surely they will not be destroyed. You have nothing to worry about. As long as you go through the motions, keep to the formula, you'll be fine. A second option is offered in the Gemara, in Masechet Nazir, which explains the triple expression as a reference to the three Batei Mikdash, two that stood and one yet to be built. And the commentaries explain the intent of the false prophets in this context to mean, don't worry, even if one temple is destroyed, another will soon be built. Don't be overly upset by the threat of destruction. It's not final after all. Malbin offers a really beautiful interpretation. Heichal Hashem, don't think that since it is the sanctuary of Hashem and built to glorify him, that that's what makes it Heichal Hashem. Rather, Heichal Hashem Hema, they, the people, are the sanctuary. The good ways and deeds of the people are what make this a home deserving of being inhabited by Hashem's presence. So Malbim places the words in Yirmiyahu's mouth rather than in the mouths of the Nevi'ei Sheker, of the false prophets, saying the prophets are telling you, are feeding you lies, saying that, oh, it's the house of Hashem, it'll never be destroyed. It's only the house of Hashem if you are deserving of Hashem's presence in that building. The building itself is not the source of holiness. The people must be vessels that contain the divine presence. The key is that last, Heichal Hashem Hema. They are the sanctuary of Hashem. And when they are worthy, then and only them, Hashem rests his Shekhinah in the Mikdash. If the people are undeserving, Hashem's presence will withdraw. And then the building is just a shell, not beyond destruction. Pasuk Chet, Hinei atem botchim lachem al divrei hashaker, levilti ho'il. Behold, you trust in false words that are completely meaningless, unproductive. Can one steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and sacrifice to the Baal and pursue foreign gods and then come and stand in the house of Hashem and say, Nitzalnu, we are saved, just so that you can go back and commit more abominations? Hame'arat paritzim haya habayit hazeh asher nikra shmi alav be'inichem? Gam anochi, hine ra'iti nu'um Hashem. Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? I see what's going on, says Hashem. You think I've withdrawn from the world and don't see? I see what you're doing. Ki lechuna el mikomi asher b'shilo, asher shikanti shmi sham barishona, ure'u et asher asiti lo mipnei ra'at ami Yisrael. Go to my place which was in Shiloh, where I first rested my name there, and see what I did to that place because of the evil doing of my nation Israel. Now, because you have done all these things despite my having sent prophets who exhorted you daily to improve and you refused to listen, I called to you repeatedly and you did not respond. Therefore, I will do this to this house in which you have placed your trust and to the place which I gave to you and your forefathers as I did to Shiloh. And I shall cast you away from my presence just as I cast away your brothers of the northern kingdom, the descendants of Ephraim. Yirmiyahu in this parak does not give us a time frame for this prophecy, and there is no reason to suppose that it's in chronological order because most of the Sefer is not organized sequentially. But we can sometimes find clues in the content that help us place it in a specific time period. In this case, the prophecy comparing the Mikdash in Yerushalayim to the Mishkan in Shiloh is repeated later in the Sefer, in Perak Chafvav, chapter 26, in which Yirmiyahu does reference the time period. And he tells us that that prophecy was given over sometime in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, who was the evil king who followed Yoshiyahu. There was Jehoahaz in between, who only ruled for 3 months, and because he was king for such a short time, he's not really counted. We saw in Pasuk Aleph of the Sefer that he's not counted among the kings in whose time Yirmiyahu prophesied. So Yoshiyahu had been a righteous king who tried to bring about a tshuva movement, but Jehoiakim was an evil king who gave the people free rein and encouraged them to sin. So among the Mefarshim, the classical Mefarshim who deal with issues of timing the Nivuot of Yirmiyahu, Abarbanel actually maintains that these are two separate Nivuot, that in our Perek, Yirmiyahu makes the comparison to the destruction of Shiloh for the first time, while Yoshiyahu was still alive. And then he repeats it years later under Jehoiakim. And the first time we hear it, the people's reaction is not recorded. Perhaps because, suggests Abarbanel, they were living under, they were subject to Yoshiyahu, and they feared him as king and knew that he would not allow any harm to come to Yirmiyahu, the prophet of Hashem, even if they really didn't like what he was saying. Later, under Jehoiakim, we'll see that there's no such fear holding the people back, and we hear that when their reaction to this nivuah is very, very strong, and they become determined to kill Yirmiyahu, not to let him get away with such threats to their false sense of security. Most of the more contemporary Mefarshim, on the other hand, identify the two prophecies as one, with the emphasis placed on a different aspect of the narrative in each retelling. So the emphasis here is on the content of the prophecy and not the surrounding story. That's going to be our focus as well, and we'll save the narrative for when we get to Perek Chafav. So the reference to the destruction of Shiloh and the suggestion that the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed just as the Mishkan of Shiloh was destroyed was really shocking. it was taken as a given that the Mishkan had had a temporary nature from its inception, but the Mikdash would be a permanent edifice. So Yirmiyahu's pronouncement is really shattering. Even Yirmiyahu's equilibrium was upset by his own vision. And apparently he was preparing to respond when Hashem anticipated his response and forestalled him. Pasuk tetzayin, ve'ata al titpalel be'ad ha'am hazeh, ve'al tisa ve'adam rina'u tfilah, ve'al tifgabi ki eineni shomea otach. And you, don't you pray on behalf of this nation, and don't raise a plea or a prayer, and do not beseech me, for I will not listen to you. This harsh decree will be repeated several times throughout the Sefer, and Rav Yosef Breuer observes that Yirmiyahu's entire life as a Navi was a constant internal battle between his mind and his heart. Cognitively, he recognized that the people had become so embroiled in sin that theirs was a path of no return, as Hashem had demonstrated to him. But nevertheless, his heart ached for his people and for his land, and he instinctively reacted to try to protect them. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ha'incha ro'eh ma'him ha'osim ba'arei Yehuda u'chutzot Yerushalayim? Do you not see what they're doing in the cities of Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim? The children gather kindling wood, the fathers ignite the fire, and the women knead the dough for offerings to the sun. They pour libations to other gods in order to provoke me. Is it me they harm, asks Hashem? They only hurt themselves. Their behavior is shameful. Therefore, says Hashem, my wrath and my anger have been drawn upon this place, on the men, animals, trees of the field, and produce of the land, and it will burn and not be extinguished. The last section of our perek deals with the perversion of the avodata korbanot, the sacrificial rites of the Beit HaMikdash. Beginning with Pasuk Chaf Aleph, these verses serve as the haftarah to Parashat Tzav in Sefer Vayikra, and serve as a strict reminder not to attach false significance to the offerings that are outlined in the first two parashot of the Sefer. In the words of Rav Mendel Hirsch in his commentary on the Haftarot, in this chapter, the prophet points out how in those degenerate circles, whose whole service of Hashem consisted in visiting the temple and bringing offerings, the contrast of the lives they lived outside made the house of God into a farce. Olotechem, vizivchechem. Elevating offerings and peace offerings are meant to be symbolic expressions of one dedicating one's life of actions to Hashem. But brought as just described by the Navi, with the full intention of continuing to sin after just going through the motions of divine service, they become a mockery of God. It would put the animal to better use to simply serve it up as a meal. All I asked of you after taking you out of Egypt, says Hashem, was to listen to my voice and follow in my ways. Pasuk Chaf Dalet v'lo shamu, v'lo hitu et oznam, v'yelchu b'moetzot b'shrirut libam hara, v'yiyu le'achor v'lo lefanim. But they did not listen or attend. Rather, they followed their own counsel and persisted in the stubbornness of their evil hearts. They turned backward and regressed rather than moving forward. V'lo shamu, v'lo yishme'u. They have not and will not listen, repeats four times in the five verses from Chaf Dalet to Chaf Chet, 24 to 28. Not only did they not listen, they filled the sanctuary with their abominations and built the Tophet in the valley of Hinnom, where they sacrificed their own sons and daughters, something which I did not command and which never entered my mind. Pasuk Lamed Dalet 34, V'hishbati me'arei Yehuda u'michutzot Yerushalayim kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala, ki lechorba tihyeh ha'aretz. In consequence of their evil behavior, I will cause to cease from the cities of Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Since you sacrificed the continuity of your own families, marriages will cease to be celebrated. Malbim explains that generally after a war, many marriages are arranged among the survivors to ensure the survival of the community and signify a return to life. However, the destruction of Yerushalayim will be so thorough that such rejoicing will be impossible. There will be no remnant to rejoice in marriage. Mishbitzot Zahav sees in this pasuk the source for our custom of placing ashes on the head of the chatan, and for the kala to refrain from adorning herself with jewelry under the chuppah. Complete joy under the chuppah will only be possible with the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, as we shall see further on in Perek Lamed Gimel, chapter 33, Be'ezrat Hashem, with the hope that this complete joy will be achieved speedily in our days. Thank you for learning together. Lirfu'a Shleima, Yonina Sima, Bat Dafna Hinda, Jennifer Hayikara Shalanu, Velipzu'e Tzahal, Acheinu Hayikarim, B'toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina V'Chaim Schenker.